The board to order. We'll start with an invocation by Member Kaisley, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Will you join me in prayer? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, Creator and Preserver of all life, look with favor upon the world that you have made, and grant us the vision and foresight to preserve and protect that part of your world we know as McLean County. We pray for citizens of our county who have recently suffered losses as a result of flooding, and for our good neighbors in Livingston County who have suffered much greater devastation from flooding in their county. We appeal to thee for preservation from natural disasters. We give thanks for the employees of our County Highway Department who have worked countless hours this winter to keep our highways open for safe travel. We are also grateful for the efforts of our Sheriff's Office and emergency personnel to keep us safe during periods of ice and snow. We know that the icy grip of this season will give way to another springtime, which is now only 65 days away. Bless our free and open deliberations here this day. Grant that the designs of evil tyrants in far-off lands may be frustrated, and your rule of justice, love, and peace established. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk will please call the roll.
Owens.
Present.
Rakowskis.
Here.
Renner.
Here.
Segubiano.
Here.
Selzer.
Here.
Sweeney.
Here.
Ahart. Baggett. Bostic.
Here.
Butler.
Here.
Kaisley.
Here.
Cavallini.
Here.
Clark.
Here.
Dean.
Here.
Gordon.
Here.
Harding. Hasselton.
Here.
Moss, Knuckles,
here.
And Sorensen.
Here. 17 members present. We have a quorum. Under appearances, we have Dr. Gary Niehaus, Superintendent of McLean County Unit District Number 5, to make a presentation to the board. Doctor.
I wanted to thank the County Board for inviting me to be here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you what we have on our plate right now in Unit 5. And I guess kind of the funny part of this morning's introductions to everybody around was the factor that Mike Emery and I were talking about growth, and his growth in the jail and my growth in the community. And obviously, I'd rather make my investment right now into taking care of both of those. But we really do need to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in Unit 5. I do know board members, there are several board members here that do not have territory that touches Unit 5, but as I'm sure concerned county members, you'll understand where we are and what our growth issues are, so I wanted to kind of get this started. Basically, what we look at in our growing community right now is doubling our population by 2015. we also look then also to double, or more than double, our district size by 2015. And if you look where we are currently at 12,500 students, that's where we are as of starting the school year. I turned in an ADA report, which is our average daily attendance report for our best 3 months this year. And over last year, we grew over 341 students. So we continue to grow. Both our projections show that. And we also see where the development is to show that as well. The next slide kind of shows you where we have heard from the city of Bloomington, the town of Normal, and also from the Planning Commission of where we're going to see growth in the community. And when you look at the growth, originally when we looked at this back in a few years ago, back in 2000, the growth seemed to be up in this territory up in here. And what's happened from that is we're now seeing the growth to the south and the east side. If you look and see and know where we are with our referendum, we're looking at that south and east quadrant more so than we have before. So this is kind of where we see the developments, where we know the water and sewer lines have been laid, and it gives us an opportunity to kind of move forward with this. Why now? Obviously, the increasing student population. We know that in 08-09 we run out of elementary classrooms. We know that in 11-12 we run out of middle school classrooms. And we know that in 2013 we run out of high school classrooms. So the issue is we need to be ahead of the time and period of time that before we run out. We used the year 2015. We just finally came to a point where we had to determine a year where we were going to try to build out to 2015. We feel like with these new buildings, we can get to that 2015 time frame. Maintenance and improvement of existing buildings. This is really important for us to look at. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but this is the 8 existing buildings we have. Existing buildings, meaning currently right now, we do not plan to close anything we have currently. We need every classroom and every school available to us, so we're wanting to make sure that those classrooms and upgrades look such that they're new classrooms. Window replacements, new roofs, masonry, joint replacement. One of the things that's not on this one in existing schools, and we have gone to geothermal, we'll have added Carlock and Brigham this summer. That will then, Hoos is the following summer, so that will mean that we now have 7 facilities that have geothermal, and all of our new buildings will have geothermal in them as well. We do need new classrooms. We need 4 additional kitchens. We have 4 schools that do not have kitchens now that we satellite to. There is a need for some of our older structures to get a better gymnasium site. There's always room for more multipurpose rooms. What we have planned is 2 elementary schools, 1 at the Grove of Kickapoo Creek. Most everybody knows that's on Ireland Grove Road. Go east all the way across Tawanda Barnes. It's about another 2 miles down there. That's where the new site will be for the Grove of Kickapoo Creek. The Benjamin family has donated 15 acres for us there to go along with acreage next to the city of Bloomington for park district use. The Cedar Ridge is our site there for the other middle school, which is across from Brigham. I want to take a moment at this point to show you why, because the question always comes, why did you choose a site south for a middle school? If you go across the bottom of the map, you got Fox Creek, Pepper Ridge, Brigham, Cedar Ridge, and the Grove of Kickapoo Creek. Those 5 schools, when their capacity will be 1,850 students in those schools. Since there are 6 grade levels there, if you divide that by half or 6th, 7th, and 8th grade or middle school, we'd have 925. So if those 5 schools are full, then our middle school on the south would be full. It also adds pressure, both for the city and the county, to get the Hamilton Road open all the way across the bottom quartile. You know right now that we have issues with 2 intersections with the railroad, both at Hershey Road in Hamilton and also there by Hudman Lumber Company. We're trying to get both of those open. That would really help create an avenue to be able to get back and forth across that south quadrant. Possible new middle school site sits between the 2 elementaries. It's south on Hershey Road, basically down to Route 150, and then about a half mile east from there. We are looking at the possibilities, although we do not have any land bought at this time for a possible high school site to follow. It would be right next to it. The Hershey Road extension, if it comes down through there, it'll go on through Route 150, and that's where the potential 80 acres next to the 40 acres would be, and that would hopefully be a high school site someday, and it would also get our high school site off of Route 150 and put it onto the Hershey Road extension if that were to happen. It's really important. We worked with the county to be able to get that established and worked hard with Jack to make sure that we didn't block up Route 150. We've got frontage roads off of that, and that was very helpful to me with the neighbors down there to get that accomplished. We had 4 planning sessions that we held during the early fall to kind of get us to the final question. Read through that material is good reading, but it also gives us good impact from our teachers, particularly our elementary middle school teachers, to tell us what they wanted in new buildings. 4 areas came up, and I'll let you read through those, but obviously maximizing learning would be something we're in the business to do. But the one area that probably sticks out as the number one area is safety and security. Safety and security, obviously, the world we live in today and how things go today, we really have to spend a lot of time worrying about this area. And it's something that our parents, when I go to PTO meetings, they want to know who's in our building, Why are they in our building? Should they be in our building? And the point of it is we've been a trusting, high-value community for a long time. And really, honestly, we're going to probably have to go to more scanners, more security cameras, more in and outs, who's here, why are they here, what purpose do they have being here. I think we're going to have to screen a lot harder to the people that come in and out of our schools. And you're going to say, well, why would we be worried about that just because of what goes on around us? I mean, we've already had lockdowns in the county. We've had lockdowns in around us. We've also had issues with regard to people. It's the first district I've worked in where silently and quietly we talk about near abductions. We haven't had one yet, but we've had red vans and white vans and blue cars and things. People, we got our kids at a point where they've made the right, said the right things to get out of those situations. But it's something we need to talk to the town of Normal, the city of Bloomington, about getting safe walking routes into our schools, getting those safe walking routes patrolled, getting our parents vigilant, making sure that nobody does something stupid with one of our students. Safety is an issue in the county, actually, as much as it is for Unit 5. We've got some issues up at Hudson, where basically everybody knows that the Hudson School, on the south side of Hudson School, basically the street and the playground are contiguous. There's not a fence there. And how some ball or some kid hasn't been run over the time, I don't know. We also have issues of when they pull in side-by-side parking. So we've got parents pulling in, letting kids out, and then backing out. Most everybody knows the cars we drive today are not easy to look and know what's behind you. There's a real need there for us to create a one-way street on the north side of Hudson to be able to put our buses in, and then to put a fence up in and around the playground area at Hudson to be able to make that a safe environment for cars and buses to be able to put in. We also have issues at Glen where we're loading buses on the street. And we have issues at Oakdale where we have buses and cars that try to get into one U-shaped drive. So that's a major issue for us. Technology, obviously, you'll see we've got smart boards going up in all the classrooms. It's something we really want to spend some time with. We know it's the pressure point for us to get the technology in place to be able to have our kids ready for the 21st century. Inclusive practices is up there because with our special ed population, our title population, our ESL population, gifted population, we need to make sure those kids are in the regular ed classroom as much as they can be there. If they're going to be given grade level ISAT tests, they have to be able to do and have the opportunity to have those classrooms available to them and the curriculum available to them to pass the test. Addition at Sugar Creek, this was a decision we made early on. In the summer, we talked about putting another site at Northbridge, which most everybody knows that subdivision is north of I-55. In putting it up there, the issue was for us is that the town of Normal said it'll be 10 to 15 years before we finish the infrastructure, which is the water sewer up there. So we could put a school up on the Northbridge subdivision with the subdivision, but that would be all the capacity that would be up there at that point. So what we wanted to do was to get to a point where we didn't have to bus students over I-55 in order to be able to fill that school. We only have 28 students currently that go from the Northbridge subdivision into Hudson, and so we didn't feel like that was a viable option to us. But we did feel like the Sugar Creek addition and renovations there was a good idea. We've got a lot of property in around there. Let's show that next slide. This is our property, and you'll notice that we have a lot of property to the north, and we also have a big backyard that we can do things with. We want to extend that driveway so that it's a bigger loop and also create a bus lane and also a car lane that will go with that. The reason we have circles there and circles in a lot of these slides is because the board did not do any pre-referendum design, so they decided to put circles and squares in versus something that looked like a building, so then you wouldn't have a visual of what it's going to look like at the end. And we feel it's important for us to continue to look at Sugar Creek as a doubling of that population. We feel it's a good part of town, and it's a way for us to revitalize that. Renovations to the 8 elementary schools. You can kind of read through those. We do have some demo sites at Glen and Oakdale currently. It's amazing when you walk in those classrooms just what paint and carpet and new lights and ceiling and whiteboards and laptops and a smart board do for a classroom. We really think this is going to change the way we do business. But I think from an economic vantage point, I asked the question this morning to the chamber, what do you want this community to look like 20 years from today? We're going to have these buildings. They're going to have to be up and running. What my board has told me, kind of not directly but kind of indirectly, is we don't want the Bloomington Normal School District or school systems to look like Decatur and Peoria and Springfield and other areas. We want them to be what they are currently. And they are what they are because of what the value is there. So having these schools, these inner core schools, and the inner core schools in and around the town of Normal, or with regard to the uptown area, the four schools being Fairview, Hoos, Oakdale, and Glen are the four kind of schools that surround that area. If we want to keep that area vibrant for the next 20 years, we're going to have to invest, in which we are investing in the schools. And we feel like that's a real important component to being able to keep the property values where they are, if not raise them. And we feel that's a very, very important part of this. Middle school, we're looking at a double-decker. We're looking at a two-story. We're looking at it's looking similar or same to what we have out at Normal Community. Most everybody, those circles you look at up there in clusters, what they call those clusters, that's called pods by elementary teachers. They'd like to have a commons area, not quite as big as this room, with rooms in it that kind of are on exterior of it. They like that as a concept, both in elementary and middle school, and it shows here in this design. What we did last time is a new high school, Normal Community, two elementary schools, remodeled Normal Community into Kingsley, had additions to Normal West of 23 classrooms, 9 practice, 1 greenhouse, kitchen addition to Hoos, and we had a swimming pool additions as a separate referendum to both high schools. Piece on here I want to talk about is the marketplace. We asked Core Construction to go out, and since they did most of the work on the high school, Normal Community, we asked them to rebid that to see what the numbers are, what it looks like, gave us a square price per square foot on that. And then we asked Johnson Construction here in town to look at our Grove plus the addition, and also do the same, give us a bid, show us what the cost per square foot would be. So on the three new buildings, we feel we have good solid numbers in determining what those costs are going to be. Everybody knows hard costs and soft costs and what a total budget goes into, so just kind of gives you our definition of that. We go to the total budget, again, not to go through each one of these. The number you keep hearing about is $96,700,000. This breaks it out as to what we're paying for each of our different projects we have in the referendum. I'm going to switch gears with you now. This is PMA is a group that we used back in the summer to give us projections. 57 interactive spreadsheets in it. It gives you a 5-year history back. It gives you a 5-year history forward projections, and it gives you a current year. So it's 11 years of data. What we did is we put in these assumptions, and then we'll show you what this chart looks like here in a minute. Back up one, please. Back up. There we go. 2007, we have a growth of 6.5. 08, 09, we know there is a depressed housing market at this point with some growth changes. Our low point in EAV is only 5% over the last 5 years. We put 5% in for 2 years, but we think it'll come back after the elections, and in 2010, it'll be back to the 6.5. Our average daily attendance is right at 12,000 students currently. We're impacted on our state formula by how much we get on the EAV, which is a growing number. And the governor and the legislature just passed a $400 increase on the foundation level for us, and that's a good deal. And we're trying to put in a $150 increase for 09 and future years ahead. These are the expectations on expenditures for our Our staff, make sure you look at that teacher one carefully, because there's a percent and a, or 1.5% in their salary schedule. So that is really a 3.5% for all of our employees across the board. Number of new teachers we're going to need. Our full-time equivalent, is that's what FTE stands for, 854 teachers to 990. Look at the number of new staff we add each year to take on the growth. And we're hiring somewhere between 75 and 90 teachers a year in our school district. It sounds kind of odd, but with retirements and new teachers and people moving, we have the opportunity to bring on a lot of new staff each year. I want to show you these. This is a long presentation that PMA did for us back in the summer, but I want to point out some things. One is the bars, the graph, bar graphs are basically the 5 years out in the funds. What I wanted to show you is where our balances are, but I really want you to focus on the $34 million, because the $34 million is what our balances would be if we operated without the new schools. And let's show what they are when we add the cost of the new schools. Sugar Creek operational cost will cost an additional $200,000. If you add on the two elementaries, it's $1.3 million. If you add on the middle school, it's $1.1. When you add those operation costs in, look at the top right number now. The top right number now is $27 million. So over that time frame, we've lost $7 million because of the operational cost to be able to open those new facilities. What we're asking for in the referendum is a dime. And that dime in the education fund, now you look up at the top right-hand corner, and you got $38 million. Really, I think this board said we want to make sure that number is keeps our head above water, but we also don't want to create a lot of reserves and put those reserves in place such that, you know, we also wanted to get our bottom line, our cash flow in place, and that does that. That blue line at the very bottom gets that cash flow back where it needs to be by the year 2013. What are we getting in a referendum question for 96.7? You're getting two elementary schools, the Grove of Kickapoo Creek and Cedar Ridge. You're getting an expansion of Sugar Creek. You're getting renovations to 8 elementary schools. You're getting a new middle school of 800 students, security and technology improvements, a dime on the education fund to offset the increases in staffing operational costs, and then to also adequately address the growing district we have. The impact on an owner of a $300,000 house is $285. Somebody asked me last night, so how much does it cost it on the school building bonds? That's 20 cents, and it's 10 cents on the ed fund. So if anybody asks the question, that's kind of where we are. On a $100,000 house, we're at $85 a year, and again, 20 cents on the construction and 10 cents on the ed fund. Any questions that anybody would have of me, or any comments? Yes.
I'm very happy to see you using geothermal. Mm-hmm. I wonder if any of the sites you are setting for the school are going to make use of like a wind turbine for their own energy. Is that been considered or looking at
it? It's been looked into. I don't know that it's being considered. Certainly with all the neighborhood getting the wind turbines, it's something. One of the issues that we have currently is we would have 23 sites. We don't have a central site to be able to get that power to any one or all of those, but in our new site, like down at the middle school, high school site, you know, that might be an opportunity or an option for us down the road. But we really haven't spent any time talking to any one individual or any one company about it. We've just listened. I've pretty much just listened to what the other superintendents are talking about on the wind turbines. It's a good idea, something we need to be talking about. And we're looking at LEED schools as well.
Just a comment. Dr. Niehaus, you did reference talking to the sheriff earlier, and I do think some of the programs you talked about, the for those students at risk and work study and different programs and having these facilities to help the students, I mean, we know firsthand what the other end of that is without a good education for students. So I do applaud Unit 5 for coming forward with an aggressive plan, because we're faced with the other end where we don't have kids that necessarily finish completely, and you do end up playing for jail, so we have some choices to make where we pay them, put the money. So
thank you
for coming.
Are there any other questions from the board? None heard. Thank you, Dr. Neal.
Thank you, sir, for letting us come. Mr. Chairman, can I do a couple introductions just real quick?
Sure.
I want to introduce our board president, Jay Reese. Also want to introduce Sally Pine, who's sitting there as one of our chairs of the referendum, and Carl Teichman is back there as well. These three people are pretty important to me right now in getting this accomplished, so thank you. And she just disappeared. Megan Leesburg was also very important in making sure I did well this morning as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. We have the consent agenda in the packet. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion Cavallini, second Kaisley, to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Reports of the Standing Committee, Executive Committee, Vice Chairman Selzer.
Mr. Chairman, we have one item to bring for action today, and that's request approval of a resolution of McLean County Board, which allows service credit into the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund for those employees' military service, and I would move that.
We have a motion, Selzer, second, Owens, to approve. All those in any questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And our general report in the minutes of the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority you can find in the packet on pages 99.
Any questions for Vice Chairman Selzer? None heard. Transportation Committee, Chairman Hustleton.
We do not have any items to present. Our general report can be found in 115 to 122. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Chairman Hustleton? None heard. Finance Committee, Chairman Selzer.
We have one item to bring for action, and it's relative to the health department building located across the street here, and that's a request for an emergency appropriation for coming out of multiple grants to pay for a new heating system. The one that we have went out over the cold snap, and we've got some pipes and other issues, and I would move that.
We have a motion, Selzer, second, Bostic. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Our general report you'll find on pages 126. I'll be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Any questions for Chairman Selzer? None heard. Justice Committee, Chairman Renner.
The Justice Committee brings one item for action. Item D1A is request approval of an emergency appropriation amending the McLean County fiscal year 2007 combined annual appropriation and budget ordinance in the general fund in the coroner's office, and I so move that.
A motion, Renner, second, Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And our general report is found on pages 138 to 148.
Any questions for Chairman Renner? None heard. Land Use Committee, Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Land Use and Development Committee brings no items for action to the board this morning. Our general report is found on pages 149 through 152 in the packet.
Are there any questions for Chairman Gordon? None heard. Property Committee, Chairman Bostic.
I have one item for the board this morning, a request approval of an agreement between Herman Brothers Pond Management and McLean County for lake mapping, Parks and Recreation Department, and I so move.
We have a motion, Bostic, second, Renner. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And our general report's on 156 to 160. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Bostic? None heard. Report of the County Administrator, John Zunick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At last month's meeting, a request was made to provide an update on the long-range regional water study and the long-range regional water plan, and that is provided in your packet beginning on page 161. The summary that's in your packet basically summarizes all of the intergovernmental agreements and actions that have been taken jointly by the City of Bloomington, the Town of Normal, and the County of McLean through the last joint meeting that was held on this matter, which was held in September of 2002. Between September of 2002 and the present date, What occurred was further study of the groundwater to determine the recharge capability of the Muhammad Aquifer, ongoing discussions between the city, the town, the county, and the water districts in western McLean and eastern Tazewell County, and a determination as to whether or not there was an interest on the part of the city or the town to purchase water from the water districts. The city was interested in purchasing water from the water districts and was prepared to enter into an agreement. The difficulty that we ran into and where we stand today is that the proposed intergovernmental agreement, which was drafted by the water districts, presented to the city, the town, and the county, did not provide any opportunity for shared governance. The water districts basically wanted to retain control, and that was unacceptable to the city of Bloomington. And as a result, as of today, no further discussions have occurred with the water districts in eastern Tazewell and western McLean counties. The city is still interested, and at some point there will probably be further discussions, but at this time there is no further discussions, no ongoing discussions. The city has communicated with the water districts the specific issues pertaining to the proposed intergovernmental agreement. In terms of moving forward with a regional water system, as indicated, the difficulty there is the water districts themselves in western McLean and eastern Tazewell County do not have the ability to finance the capital cost without a guaranteed contract. They need a contract from one or more large users who will guarantee that they will buy X million dollars of water annually in order to fund the debt service that would be required to build the water treatment plant, to build the wells, to build any kind of a distribution system. Absent a guaranteed contract for purchase of water, the equalized assessed value of those water districts is such that they it'd be impossible for them to move forward. One of the concerns that at least appeared to be expressed was, what about the county? You know, why can't the county take a lead in this? Why can't we be more involved in this? Well, we've not been involved other than being a funding agent and being a participant to facilitate discussion. And when we entered into this back in 1988, 1989, the idea was that the county would facilitate the discussion between and among the water districts. The difficulty is, again, in Illinois law, and there's a paragraph on page 163 which basically explains that under Illinois law, county government is permitted to establish a sewer system, a water work system, and a waste management system. However, to do this, the county must create a Department of Public Works. And in order to fund a Department of Public Works, Illinois law provides a provision for a referenda. The referenda is a countywide referenda, which the county board can put on the ballot. But the difficulty is Illinois law also goes farther and says that the county can only provide these services in areas which currently do not have the service. So in other words, the referenda is a countywide referenda, which means all of the residents in Bloomington and Normal have an opportunity to vote on it, but the services that the county would provide would not include Bloomington and Normal. And in fact, they wouldn't include any of the rural cities, towns, or villages where the services already exist. So it's very difficult under those circumstances to get the majority of the population, the 120,000 people that live in Bloomington Normal, to vote for a tax increase which would go on their bill where they would receive very little services. And in fact, in Illinois today, there are only two counties who provide water service and have abolished or have created a Department of Public Works, and that's Lake County and DuPage County, both collar counties, obviously both very different from McLean County, both in terms of the population density and the number of suburbs. And in both Lake County and DuPage County, as you know, both of those counties are able to use Lake Michigan water as the source of water to distribute to their residents in their county, and they also provide some limited sewage treatment for some of the subdivisions that are in the small number of unincorporated areas within the county. So that's a summary for the board. I also included for your review a copy of the specific provision from the Illinois compiled statutes as it relates to the Department of Public Works and the county's authority in those areas. be happy to answer any questions that any members might have at this time.
Has there been any discussion within the state to change the law at all?
Not to my knowledge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a statement in almost the middle of the paragraph referring to the fact that the services are available only in those parts of the county that don't already have services available, unless the county is requested by another governmental unit to provide such services. To what possible scenarios might that refer?
In either the rural, in some of the rural communities, for example, a rural community that currently does not have a wastewater treatment system or does not have a water distribution system, a community like that could ask the county to provide that service if the referendum was passed. Theoretically, you know, the large communities, Bloomington and Normal, could say, if it passes, intergovernmentally, you take it over. You be responsible for it. But the likelihood of that happening, I think, is probably fairly remote.
That's nicely put. would that request have to be made before or after the referendum were held?
That's a strategic question. I don't, you know.
In other words, Slim and Nunn are the operative players here.
More than likely.
Thank you.
Member Crossley.
With this information that we have at hand now, what's the next step?
The next step is the City of Bloomington is continuing to look at options with the water districts and the water authorities in eastern Tazewell and western McLean County. They have communicated to the water authorities what language they find unacceptable in the proposed intergovernmental agreement. The hope is that through continuing negotiations that they might be able to come to some agreement where the water authorities would agree to provide the largest purchaser of water, which would be the city, a seat at the table so that they would have an ability to be involved with the whatever type of intergovernmental regional system was developed.
What is the biggest obstacle at this point?
The water authorities have indicated that they do not want to provide shared governance. They want to control the water, proposed regional water system.
Any other questions, Member Moss?
Just for information, how many water districts and water authorities have been involved in these talks?
Including the ones in Tazewell County, approximately five. I think that's correct.
Are there districts and authorities that have not been involved in that area?
It's limited to the ones that were studied in the original study, which was done back in between 1990 and 1992 or 1993. And it was determined on the basis of the engineering data that was available on the location of the Muhammad Aquifer and where it would be appropriate to look at establishing wells that would provide sufficient water to service the large area, both Bloomington Normal and the surrounding area, and based on the cost of not only locating the wells, but then the cost of treating and pumping the water. So the study area was limited to the water authorities in western McLean County and eastern Tazewell County.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Member Bostick.
And you almost had some adversarial confrontations sitting down to the table because some of the small towns out in western McLean County have their own drilled wells, and they perceived a lowering of the water table would impact them greatly, too. So
well,
it was back to square one.
And I think what, you know, where that is evident is if you look on page 162, you can see the joint meeting that was held in September of 2002 and the presentation on the proposed cost at that time to do a regional system. And between 2002 and June of 2007, you can say, well, what happened? Well, what happened was a lot of meetings, a lot of discussion, a lot of assuring those water authorities, those water districts, those small communities that, in fact, a regional water system would not negatively impact their ability, that, in fact, there were some benefits to a regional water system. One of the large benefits is the treatment capability, because what may ultimately drive this issue is the fact that some of these small communities do not have the treatment capability that is going to be required under federal EPA. And it's going to be very, very expensive to try and upgrade their facilities to meet those standards. And it may be that the only way those standards can be met is through some sort of a regional consortium or a regional intergovernmental agreement that would spread some of that cost out. So it literally took nearly 5 years to get to the point where you had a willingness on the part of the water authorities and the communities to look at a formal proposal to buy water and ultimately treat it and distribute it. That's correct.
Well, John, would it be fair to say then that they have accepted the fact that this study is probably, use the phrase, dead in the water, if they are going to be hardened, set in stone, so to say, that, you know, that they're not going to change the makeup of this board. They're going to retain absolute control of it and keep others away from the table. So where do we go to from here if they have accepted that fact?
If that position doesn't change over time, if they insist that there's only one way to look at it, then what you're probably looking at, and again, I'm not in a position to speak for the city of Bloomington or the town of Normal, but more than likely what would happen then is you would have a situation similar to what Normal has today, and that is where the city would have to independently look for other opportunities for water. And the city's already, starting to do that. They've already announced, and the council has already approved, looking for possible well sites within the corporate limits of the city of Bloomington. And whether or not they go beyond that, as Normal did, and look beyond the corporate limits and look at negotiations with property owners to the west, where they might be able to site wells, that will something that, the city and the city council will ultimately have to decide.
Kaisley.
The reason these water authorities were formed was to keep control of the water in those particular townships. And if they were to go for shared governance, they would be giving up the very reason for which they were formed. And that's what the sticking point is. And I suppose the city of Bloomington will ultimately agree to their governance if the need for water grows sufficiently and the supply diminishes.
Member Gordon.
Member Kaisley just provided me a perfect segue to my question without knowing it. Has there been any systematic attention paid to projections of intermediate and long-range water needs in McLean County? There's some literature out there by hydrologists and geologists and others, including the late U.S. Senator Paul Simon, who wrote a book about the world's water supply, and it was not an optimistic projection. Do we know? Is there any information that has been generated with regard to reliable projections of McLean County's longer-term water needs?
Yes, sir. That was part of the study that was funded. The intergovernmental agreement that was approved in June of 1992. There was a water system needs analysis that was conducted then. There was a groundwater resource study, and there were also projections that looked at projections in terms of population, and also projections in terms of the amount of water that would be needed. And basically that was part of the ongoing study to look at the capacity of the Mahomet Aquifer. Does the Mahomet Aquifer have the capacity, sufficient capacity, to meet the projected needs, the growth in Bloomington Normal, as well as to serve the communities that are currently served by that aquifer? And that issue of the capacity of the aquifer continues to be studied through agreement between the city, the town, and the county. The Illinois Department Geological Survey and the Water Survey continue annually to monitor the test wells that were drilled as a part of that initial study, continue to monitor the recharge capability, and track what is actually happening to the aquifer over time, and report that back to the three local governments.
So that there have been annual updates of the initial projections?
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Anything else for us, John?
No, sir. Can't All right. answer any other questions anybody might have.
All right. No other questions. Under business and communications, I'd like to invite Peggy Ann Milton to share some important dates and information with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're just talking about the election, and on yesterday, early voting started, and it will continue through January 31st, so anyone interested in voting early without excuse, even if you're not absent from the county, you're able to do so. Grace period voting is going on right now as well. That ends on January 22nd. If you neglected to change your address or to register to vote by the deadline, the law gives you opportunity to come into the office, register, and vote at the same time. Absentee voting will start on the 1st of February and go through the 4th, so that opportunity is available also. As far as early voting sites, we have four of them in our jurisdiction, one here at the Government Center, one in Downs at Freestar Bank, Shenoa, Heartland Bank, and the town of Normal. Also, we always need election judges. I wanted to throw that in there, too, if you know anyone interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Peggy Ann?
I just have one. Are you looking at expanding those sites at all, and what process is used to try to get out? I mean, I think early voting is great, but if people have to drive into some of these sites from other parts of the county, is there, I forget where it was, I saw one of the townships or what up in the Chicago area had like 100 sites. I'm just curious if we're looking at expanding those.
We're thinking about it, but right now we haven't had extreme visitation to the sites, so until the need presents itself, we are not anticipating it. We split the county up pretty evenly to where, you know, we have, like I say, Shenoa, Downs, Normal, and Bloomington, so no one has complained or showed a need to progress, but of course we're always looking at that. Great question.
Any other questions? Any other business or communication? Member Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a note of information that the members of the Rules Subcommittee, I'll be contacting you to looking at a date for next month. It would be after, preferably after the county board meeting next month, if that's date is sufficient with the county administrator's office. Those members on the committee are George Gordon, Bob Knuckles, and Dwayne Moss. We usually try to meet at the beginning of the year just to look over the rules. There's any questions or comments or concerns by any members of the board regarding the rules, please seek one of those members out or our county administrator, and we'll be working at a date for next month to meet.
Great, thank you. Any other business or communications for the board? If not, we have bills to pay distributed at your sites this morning. You see bills totaling $5,792,204.97. Is there a motion to pay the bills? Motion Cavallini, second Gordon. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I need to refrain from voting on the Law and Justice Commission payment.
Okay. Please let the minutes reflect that Member Clark is not voting on that particular bill. Any other business? None. We are adjourned until February 19th, 2008. Thank you.
stop.